Yes, I'd like help applying some of the techniques, and I just don't know what to do at this point. I'm probably not trying hard enough. Like you said, you know, if you're not getting rejected, then you're in the Lone Ranger track, and you're not trying hard enough. So I need a little guidance. If you can help me, please.
Well, can you be more specific with your question? I mean, when you say you don't know what to do, the whole program is an answer to that question. You should start on page one and start to do everything that's being advised to do.
So it requires a little bit of insight probably into my situation. And you know, it's the last 7 months. My wife moved out 7 months ago. Been trying doing things, you know, giving her gifts and stuff and calling her, leaving voice messages. She won't call me back. The only emails that she very seldom responds to. She has rejected me a couple times in email. She sent me nasty emails back, which is apparently that's a good sign, but only two of those. Prior to that 7 months, she'd been slowly sabotaging the marriage insidiously to the point where it was just she was a total psychopath, screaming all the time, couldn't touch her, couldn't go near her. She moved out, and she basically rage quit. She broke up with me and rage quit. And when I say rage quit, I mean she quit in a rage, furious rage. And so I've done pretty much everything I can to sort and sift through all the negativity that I would, you know, tend to not want to listen to, and try and figure out all the things that she'd said that are criticisms that I could potentially improve upon myself. And I've tried to be the better man, but I think I'm failing. I think, you know, I'm going to have to file for divorce and, you know, get a real marriage, because what I have now is essentially a sham. And I don't know what else I could potentially do. I'm going to divorce group tonight. I'm on my way. I'm on the train right now. I'm coming out of work.
Okay,
so
let me make two points to you that might be useful. So first of all, you're talking about filing for divorce. You're going to a divorce group. This is not a good sign. I mean, this is not good. These are not good choices on your part. You can't water one flower and expect a different one to grow. You can't be thinking and planning for divorce, going to a divorce group where you're going to be around the worst influences. I mean, the worst influences you could possibly imagine at such a group. I mean, if you end up going through a divorce, I'm not suggesting that it would be the worst influence, although I don't know. I think there are some problems with those groups. But anyway, that's not my point here. My point is if you're in this program, and presumably your intent is to reconcile your marriage, if your intent is to reconcile, you certainly should not be going to a group that's where you're going to be influenced by a community of people who are going through a divorce and who are divorced. That is not going to be helpful. It's not going to be supportive. And it's a big mistake. Filing for divorce, of course, you're suggesting you're going to do that. That would also be, you know, a terrible mistake. Again, if your goal is to reconcile your marriage, I understand you're frustrated. I understand you don't feel like you're making progress. But keep your eye on the target. I mean, if you have put forth a Herculean effort to try to save your marriage, and you've done that for at least a year in the way I describe in the program, meeting the two criteria that I talk about. I'm not going to go there now. You have that on an audio file. If you've done that and you still are getting nowhere and unhappy and, you know, et cetera, so, okay, fine. Maybe you've earned the right to file for divorce at that point. But if you're just in this program, I can almost guarantee you you're nowhere near the point where you have earned the right to credibly say that you've really made the kind of effort that you should make prior to filing for divorce. So all of this divorce talk and thinking, and in your case even action, is very counterproductive for the goal that you're claiming you want to achieve. Just a quick story to illustrate my point. It's a story about this couple that was a disciple of this guru, and every week they would come to the guru and get a blessing that they should conceive a child. And every week they did that, but every month she continued to get her period. She was not successful in conceiving a child. This went on for months, even years. One day they were visited by some friends of theirs from out of town, who were also trying to conceive and having trouble. They were not a disciple of the guru, but, you know, what do they have to lose? They figured maybe they'd go and get a blessing also. So they went and they got a blessing from the guru, and lo and behold, the following month they discovered that she was pregnant. So the disciples of the guru came to the guru and said, you know, we're a little upset. Every week we come to you, we're loyal disciples, and every week you give us a blessing, nothing. Not conceiving. Our friends come from out of town. They hardly know who you are. They don't even believe in this blessing. They come, they get a blessing, and boom, they conceive. What's going on here? So the guru tells them, you know what the difference is? The difference is your friends, they came here to get a blessing, and after they left, they went and they bought a crib. You see, what we think about, the intent in our heart, where we're putting our psychic energy, it has a very real impact on the reality that we ultimately experience. Now, I realize that what I just said is somewhat mystical, but I feel comfortable saying it to all of you, because at this point in the program, I think you all know me well enough to know that 99% of what I say is very logical and very well-grounded. I admit that what I just shared is somewhat mystical, but I believe it. I really, really, really believe it's true. And that's why I'm trying to direct you away from this divorce group and all of this divorce thinking. It's just unproductive. The second point I want to make to you is that sometimes the question is not, what else should I be doing, which is basically what you're asking. But sometimes the operative question is, how much longer should I be doing it? In other words, you're looking at your wife's reactions to your efforts, and because she's not responding in exactly the way you want her to or the way you hope, you're assuming that you're either doing something wrong or that you're missing something and should be doing something that you're not. But that's not such an accurate conclusion. That's not such a good conclusion based on the available information. There's another possibility, which is the likely one, by the way, which is that you're doing exactly, well, let me back up one second. I'm assuming here for a moment that you have combed through the program and that you are applying diligently all of the principles and practices that I'm teaching. You're not just one of these marriage fitness newbies that are just doing talk charges and touch charges. Okay, I know talk charges and touch charges get a lot of billing. They're cute little names, and everybody catches on to them. Okay, that's fine. But there's about 100 other recommendations, more practical things you should be doing in the program, and the people that are successful are not people that are just doing any one or two things, but they're people that are really diligently applying all the principles and practices and making comprehensive change. So let's just assume for discussion purposes for a moment that you're doing that. So if you're doing that, then it could very well be that you're doing exactly what you should be doing. You're not making any mistakes, and that the only thing that's missing is time, is consistency. Right, you remember the story of the Chinese bamboo tree? For those of you that may not, what happens when you plant the seeds of a Chinese bamboo tree? Nothing. You water, you fertilize, you make sure it gets enough sunlight. A year, 2 years, 3 years, nothing. In the fourth year, this little bulb comes up a couple inches off the ground. You think to yourself, oh, just, you know, I must be doing something wrong. I must not be doing something right. This is a failure. It's not working. In fact, what's happening is underneath the ground, there's a massive root structure that's growing. And in the fifth year, a Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet tall. Sometimes we, in these broken marital situations, are a little like the farmer in the first, second, third, or fourth year of a Chinese bamboo tree. They're looking out and thinking, this is not working. But they're wrong. It is working. It's just you can't see the impact yet. And that's the way it works a lot of times in these situations, because the obstinate spouse for a long time is going to resist showing you the impact that your efforts are having. Not only are they going to resist showing it to you, but they're going to try to deter you. They're going to try to convince you that it is having no impact so that you stop, so that you give up. Remember that very important audio file on your members-only website, the one that's emphasized about how important it is in the title, talks about the story your spouse is telling themselves and how that story is what they're using to clear their conscience and justify everything they're doing and to plan their exit, and that your job is to ruin that story. And as you go about ruining that story, that's going to frustrate them. That's going to anger them, and they're going to try to get you back in line. They're going to try to get you to cooperate with the marital history and stop trying to create a new marital future. And the harsher they sort of push back against your efforts to ruin their story, the greater that is an indication that you're on the right track. Because ruining that story is really central to your whole reconciliation process. But a lot of times people make the mistake of interpreting that reaction as negative. They make the mistake of interpreting that reaction and thinking that they're not making any progress and that they're doing something wrong. They're not doing something wrong. So, again, my main point to you here is that you have to be careful and make sure you're asking the right question. Sometimes, or too often, people are asking, what else should I be doing? When really, if they're truly being diligent student, that's not the right question. The question is, how much longer should I be doing it? In other words, the missing ingredient is not something new to do. The missing ingredient very often is consistency. Consistency and belief that underground the roots are growing. And then you experience that breakthrough. And when the breakthrough comes, sometimes people will ask me, you wouldn't believe what happened. Well, I would believe it because I've heard it a million times. You wouldn't believe what happened. I want to know more. What did I do this week that created this breakthrough? And the truth is, I don't like that question. Because it's just further illustration that the person really doesn't understand the principles that drive these situations. Because it was nothing that you did this week that created the breakthrough. The only reason breakthroughs ever occur is because it was something you did every week for the last 10, 20, 30 weeks. It's like in the movies, you know, when they're trying to break down the door. And, you know, they bounce against it once, twice, three times, four times, not till the fifth time that the door finally collapses. Now, would you say that the first four were insignificant, unimportant, irrelevant? Would you say that the door collapsed only because what occurred on the fifth push? No, that's ridiculous. It was the fifth push when you saw the door collapse, but the first four contributed as much as the fifth. They're the ones that loosen the screws. You got to keep pushing against the door every single day. Every single day, and even though it doesn't open, you've got to know that that's making a contribution to the whole process. And even though the fruits of the process end up blooming very quickly, it seems as though it's quick. It really wasn't. And it's the people that are diligent and consistent and patient that are ultimately successful. One last final point, all related to this gentleman's question. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, if I pinned you down, Mort, and you had to tell me what was the one factor that most contributed to the success stories you see. Of course, there's lots of factors. But what would be the most important factor? You know what I would say? I would have to say that it's endurance. The people that are successful are people that are dogged. They're relentless. They just are unwavering in their commitment to employ these principles and practices and to work on their fixing. And they appreciate that they didn't get into this situation in a couple of weeks, and they're not going to get out of it in a couple of weeks. And the people that are not successful are people that are looking for a quick fix. They're easily derailed or deterred. They're easily swayed by their spouse's rejection. And they are just not, don't have the consistency or the endurance to nurture their situation to success. So I want you to fall into the first category. All of you, please appreciate the importance, consistency, and endurance, and be dogged.